what do you envision for the PFD? You're kind of running on a stance of returning to the previously used formula.
That is correct. The platform that we're running on is that the PFD belongs to the people. It needs to be constitutionally protected. And that one of the other items that we're working on is that the money that they have taken in 2015, 16, and 17 will be redistributed back to the people.
And so as far as the more recent change of implementing the POMV draw on the earnings reserve, are you wanting to see that completely taken away?
Yes. Yeah, we want to make sure that they should not be able to take your part of the money. It's yours. It's because we don't have our mineral rights, you know. And it's a crying shame that they're not listening to what the people here in the state of Alaska are saying.
But it did take care of a significant portion of the budget gap, and we were talking a little bit about the budget earlier. So I mean, what are some of your stances on the budget and how to reduce that gap?
The government, the legislators, their responsibility, constitutional responsibilities, is fire and safety. That's one, education, DOT, and health. Those are it. Anything above and beyond that is icing on the cake. And those are the issue. Those are the things that we need to look at when we cut the budget.
You're wanting to cut some of the budget. So I guess what in particular do you think could be either streamlined or cut or reduced?
We have, if you look in right now, let's just talk about the capital itself. We had each department down there. You can't just come up to me and say you need $2 million to operate. I want to see the actual operating budget, how much you spent.
You were talking about as far as education and kind of the, if you want to kind of explain some of the cuts you are proposing there.
When I talk about budget cuts, the education, we're talking about the higher echelon. There are some districts that have as little as 13 students. So why do you need a superintendent, an assistant superintendent, and a staff to monitor 13 kids? It is just mind-boggling. You get rid of that superintendent and that staff, you could take that money and offer part of it to another school district for that superintendent to consume that 13 students. That's money we can put into the classroom. We're top heavy, and that's where the cuts have to be made.
We were talking about crime a little bit earlier, so if you want to kind of explain your stance on SB 91 and kind of where you'd like to see the state legislature go on crime.
Yeah, SB 91 needs to be totally repealed. I mean, we need to go back to ground zero. The concept of SB 91 in relationship with bail and this point system for nonviolent crimes, the whole concept wasn't a well thought out idea, okay? The troopers are working their backsides off trying to process these crimes. And, you know, before they can get the paperwork done, the individuals that are committing these crimes are out back on the street, and they're laughing. There are a lot of ways that we can help this budget out, because I truly believe the budget, jobs, and crime are all one and the same. You know, if you don't have jobs here, you're going to have individuals committing crimes. You have crimes, then the troopers are suffering. Then troopers have to ask for more money.
But I think a lot of the focus in within the Republican Party is who can take Seaton on in the general. And it's the first time he'll face someone in the general since 2012. And,
right.
And so, I mean, what sets you apart from Vance or Kroll? You know, do you think you have a better shot at unseating Seaton in the
yes.
general?
It comes down to experience. I must be doing something right if I'm elected to the Chamber of the Commerce twice. I've served as a board member. I served as the chairman of the NRA, Home of Friends of the NRA, for a few years, and as a board member, and then elected twice now to the commander of this post. So people see the leadership skills and management skills that are needed